you take, let us assume, a third toke, long and slow. You vaporize, and you take it in and in and in, and there is a sound like the crumpling of a plastic bread wrapper, or the crackling, or the flame, or the and a tone, and a tone, a There is this.
All right, you're listening to Kootenai Co-op Radio, 93.5 FM, CJLY, broadcasting live from Nelson and over the worldwide mycelium on www.kootenaicoopradio.com.
There is a cheer. The gnomes have learned a new way to say who.
All right, welcome. This is Fane of the Cosmos.
Infinite Moment.
And I'm one of your hosts, Dustin Sunflower.
And I'm another of your hosts, Reverend DeMuzzi.
On today's show, we're going to be talking about how, well, if you were having any kind of a weekend this weekend, you were at the Kootenai Moving Pictures Film Festival, one of the great events of the year. We're going to be comparing the situation in Tibet with some of the drug war protocols that they're trying to initiate in Creston. You got it. Tibet and Creston will find some striking similarities. What else, Dan?
Well, I think we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming push by multinational corporations to get the drug war happening on a multinational level. And we can talk a bit about some fake studies that were done that attempt to prove that pot is bad for you. And these studies are done by major research groups throughout the world and usually funded by, you guessed it, the government.
Oh, so handy.
We got a couple other things, too, we can talk about.
I'm going to be talking about today, too, on the show about BC Hydro and how BC Hydro has been under the gun by the government, the Solicitor General, Attorney General, and now some local municipalities to give away their records of people with high power usage.
And there's a little bit more on the fallout from that officer who died in Alberta. I guess there was actually four of them, wasn't there, Dustin?
In northern Alberta?
Yep, that happened a couple of weeks ago. We talked about it here on the show. We went over all the details. Well, there's some fallout still from that, so we're going to explore what that fallout is.
Well, and also I'll be giving an update for anybody who's a drug smuggler on the latest technologies that are being used at the border to track smuggling. These include... Anyway, I'm not going to give it away, but if you're a drug smuggler in the Kootenays, you may want to stay tuned for the later part of the show. Some material on this show may be offensive to some listeners, and they may wish to turn their dial because it might offend you. But hey, some things might, so chill out. There's other stations. You could listen to KBS, CBC, something boring like that. Now let's go to a tune. This is... Farside, but it's spelled P-H-A-R-C-Y-D-E, and this is called Pack the Pipe.
Let's pack the pipe, the pipe on the he passes like bouts, but it passes me complete, cause I can tell in his smell. They let the touch, he pass me by, let the left catch hell. If I wanted to smoke your back, well, I get a skinny white bitch. I know that fat lip carries a pack to cure the nicotine itch, because the only itch I have is for the indoor sex. So don't blast me that mess, or try to eat from protest. That is adding to the flavor, cause the oval is fine. Want your back to pipe, we keep it moving down the line. The right, the right.
I got a big old blunt. I'm lamping on my front porch, about to put a torch to it. Then Coco said, don't do it. Please don't hit that shit in front of my little 4-year-old son. She sent him inside the house, meanwhile my sherry steadily roll one after the other, then another, cause I'm rolling in the dough. So we rolling the endo, as if the kid didn't know. He's looking through the window, yo, while we trying to hide it, to make the boy grow to be ignorant and misguided about the bud. Now I have to play the part of the advisor, because the bud is just a tasty tantalizer. The bud, not the beer, cause the bud makes me wise. So I said, come here, little man. And with his little hand, he grabbed the pipe. A lesson in Buddha blessing, not too young, just right. So he started blazing, it was amazing. My lungs are black and shriveled up like a raisin. But who am I to deny the kid try? And nature's little way of saying hi. So pack the pipe.
Choke it, nothing, don't no joking. I'm doing it like this. I hope I do not get this by anybody.
Why does your mother smoke pipe with crack on the inside? Bus ride with the sharp stick in her mouth.
Welcome back. That was Far Side, Pack the Pipe. Quite an exploration. So, Dan, what do you want to start, brother?
Well, why don't we start with something that we haven't even talked about at the beginning of our show.
What's that?
Just something out of the blue here.
Okay.
Something I'm reading right now, because it just makes me kind of sad, really.
What is it?
Well, it appears that not very long ago, early March, an officer in the States, looks like California.
Oh, I read about this one.
He pulled over a couple that were driving down the road because they were speeding.
Mm-hmm.
And his side of the story is that...
his side of the... Just listeners, just so you know, there is no his side of the story.
But the way he puts it is that he says that, you know, that he asked to search the vehicle, and the driver, who's the woman, gave him permission, and then her boyfriend stepped from the car and took a few steps away and was upset because she had given him permission to search, and then so he warned the guy to get back in the car, and made a threatening movement towards his gun, so it sort of encouraged the guy to comply. So the guy got back in the car, and then he took his gun and he, for some reason, stuck it in the car right against this guy's back. And he says then the guy twisted and as though he was retrieving a weapon to and so the officer shot him 4 times in the back and killed him. Now, the woman who was driving the vehicle says that her boyfriend didn't reach for anything.
Yeah.
And
they tried to base it that on forensics that the shots fired tended to believe more in the officer's way. The guy died. And what did they find in the girlfriend's purse? They didn't find anything on the guy that he shot. No weapon, no drugs, no nothing. They, in the girl's purse, they found 3 grams.
3 grams of marijuana.
3 grams of pot, folks. Yes, you can die for 3 grams of pot. It's just ridiculous. And the evidence that they used to... They basically let the cop go and said, yes, he was justifiable in using that much force by shooting the guy. What were some of their reasons? She refused to take a drug test. You know, that they had indeed smoked pot earlier that day.
And they claimed that one of the reasons they knew was because she had a green tint to her tongue.
I hate that. A green... Hey, is listeners, the court said that they believed the cop because the cop said that she had a green tint to her tongue, which is proof positive she was smoking herb.
And then they used that as the basis to get a blood sample to prove that she had used cannabis earlier in the day.
It's just so sick. Like... Green, excuse me. Yeah, you out there listening. Have you ever had your tongue turn green from smoking herb? No. I never have. Have you? If my tongue turned green from smoking herb, they would think I was like green eggs and ham guy or like some weird Dr. Seuss thing, you know? Cooties would have lots of green tongues. So, yeah, the tragedy.
You know, what the tragedy is, this kind of stuff happens all the time. You know, there was a case a few years back where a grandfather was in his house with his children, and the cops came, and they kicked in the door, and it was the wrong house. But they didn't learn that it was the wrong house until they also bashed in the door of the main bedroom, grabbed the grandfather out of the bed, thrown the grandmother on the floor with her negligee on and stood on her, and then proceeded to actually shoot the grandfather in the head and kill him. And it's just so common that this happens in drug cases. You very rarely hear about the death of an officer. The amount of people who die who are actually totally innocent or else in possession of such a small amount of a harmless substance that a death sentence is not warranted, it's staggering.
That's why
you make this comparison.
That's why I believe in the whole bad cop, no donut thing. Like, we've got to be accountable on both ends for how much they in the media are saying drugs this, marijuana that, we've got to say cop this, death that, you know, like we have to be able to have a balanced media perspective for sure.
I just want to remind people that any death is a tragedy. Mm-hmm. and that that when we value the lives of some members of our society over others, that we're actually doing all of society a disservice because we're buying into that whole idea that informs eugenics and population control and all that stuff, that somehow if you're a smoker of cannabis that your life is less valuable and you know, you're one of those people that should be, you know, perhaps weeded out.
Mm-hmm. It's ironic. Recently, too, the Canadian government has put $1.2 million into a cross-Canada campaign to end racial profiling. But we still have RCMP being trained by American police officers to do Operation Pipeline, which the very nature of it is a racial profiling thing. Like, we're still...
Not just racial, but cultural. They'll pull you over if you look like, you know, the kind of person, regardless of color, if you just look like the kind of person that might use an illicit substance.
If you look poor, you're in big trouble. Do you want to cut to a tune?
Let's do it.
Okay.
son. Whoever you really stop the fight. Ganja, you can't stop the fight. Ganja, you know nothing better for them. Ready, Isaac. Stay bomb.
Cool down your temper, Mr. Cop.
You're here.
Cool down. Hear me when I said, cool down your temper, Mr. Cop.
Cool
down. Put a smile on your face while passing through. Put away all those frowns that awful screw. We're just sipping the cup and having some fun. And it's better than in the streets, brass and gun. Tell him, Mr. Tellin, cool down your temper, Mr. Cop, cool down. Hear me when I said, cool down your temper, Mr. Cop, ooh-wee, cool down.
Ziggading, 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 another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything I'm gonna get stuck. Another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything me I'm gonna get stuck. Hey, Mr. Cop, tell me why you stopped me. I wasn't driving me car badly. You couldn't want lock me up. Me the good sense, cause you burn it yourself when you're off duty. So
cool down your temper, Mr. Cop, ooh-wee. Down.
Show me a dread, I mean a rental.
Hear me when I say, cool down your temper, Mr. Cop, ooh-wee, cool down.
Gregory Isaac, talk to the cop.
BC and Mark hit my row in a bone.
Oh, Mr.
What don't concern you, please leave it alone. Cause the grass was made for the cow's nest. In the herb on this land for the use of man. Tell him, Mr. Tell him, cool down your temper, Mr. Pop, ooh-wee, cool down.
Officer, how are you really stopping?
Hear me when I said, cool down your temper, Mr. Pop, ooh-wee, cool down.
Another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything I'm gonna get stop. Another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything I'm gonna get stop. Yeah, Mr. Cop, what you have under your hat? You don't see me have enough dreadlocks. Yeah, Mr. Cop, what you have in the back? I just two bag of hockey and some things from the shop. Yeah, Mr. Cop, oh, your wallet look fat. You don't see me an entertainer. I'm a walk out the car. Him say, one on, Mac, it's a lucky thing they come, never looking at me socks. So
cool down your temper, Mr. Pop, ooh-wee, cool down.
Officer, I'm not a criminal.
Hear me when I said, cool down your temper, Mr. Pop, ooh-wee, cool down, down, down.
Ziggading, another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything I'm gonna get stop. Another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything I'm gonna get stop. You see the ganja, it never hurt nobody. Why you spending so much time running down the sense? There's a lot of worse things in a society. So go deal with them and keep your mind off away. Go get the people who commit robbery. Go get the people who molest me. The people who beat poor lady. And them you be putting at the penitentiary. Another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything me I go get stop. Another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything me I go get stop. And to me a dead and me in a rental. That no mean say me is a criminal. So Mr. Cop no bad a go on brutal. Cause you know that they can just shoot me. Another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything I'm gonna get stop. Another roadblock. What a holy pack up, and I bet you anything I'm gonna get stop.
Cool down your temper, Mr. Cop, ooh-wee, cool down. Hear me when I say, cool down
down your temper, Mr. Cop. Ooh-wee, ooh, down, 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 down. Go down, go down, go down, go down, go down, go down.
Welcome back. This is Fane of the Cosmos, Infinite Moment. And that song was Maccabee, Mr. Cop. That's going out to all the people in the Kootenays who have been pulled over in bogus road checks. We feel for you. We know exactly what it's like. It happens to us too. We'll see what we can do in the future about stemming the tide of roadblocks. But what's happening, Dan? Another police incident?
Well, in January, in January, there's a fellow, Paul Medeiros, who was killed in a drug raid. What happened is the police kicked in the door of his place and in front of his five-year-old boy beat him to death with billy clubs and sprayed mace in his face whilst, you know, at the same time. So it was hard for him to breathe, and they brought him to the hospital, and that's where he died. Afterwards, his son was so traumatized that that he needed counseling. I mean, again, you know, it's just another example. There was no real clear indication at the time whether or not there were even drugs on the property. It was just a matter of the police smelling something outside of the door and then assuming that it was a drug house of some kind, and then kicking it in and just beating this poor fellow to death.
Oh my God.
So, you know, and like I say, it's really common. You have something there, Dustin?
Yeah, recently, this is from the just CP General. An RCMP investigation has cleared Vancouver police of 56 complaints that include alleged torture, kidnapping, and assault. Police Chief Jamie Graham said Thursday as he slammed the group that demanded the examination. An angry Graham said the Pivot Legal Society pressured the RCMP to investigate alleged Vancouver police misconduct between May 2001 and May 2003 by using slick tactics to draw media attention. They managed to leverage this coverage by putting pressure on the Office of the Police Complaint Commissioner to force an investigation that would eventually span 18 months and cost more than $1 million, Graham said. On top of that, the Vancouver Police Department spent an estimated $200,000 in 3 to 4 months doing its own probe of the libelous and slanderous charges, he said. Pivot, an activist group for drug addicts, prostitutes, and homeless in the downtown east side, produced 56 sworn affidavits from people who said they were illegally searched, arrested on insufficient grounds, and mishandled by the police. This evidence simply does not exist to substantiate these alarming and irresponsible allegations, Graham told a news conference. Both the RCMP and the Vancouver police investigators concluded there was not a single case of criminal activity by a Vancouver police officer. Not one, he said, finding it very disturbing that this protest group purposefully chose to make these far-fetched accusations with little or no evidence to substantiate them. Okay, that's the cop side.
You know what? It's so funny because it's so typical that, and in fact, you very rarely find that the police get in trouble for anything that they do.
I know. It's ridiculous. So that's the cop side. They're outraged. They had to spend all this money. They had to do all this stuff. Let's hear from John Conroy. John Conroy is a Pivot director, and he's actually been interviewed on this show a few times. He's a Vancouver lawyer who is on the Queen's Bench, is one of the most respected senior counsel in Vancouver, is a member of this Pivot group because he believes that the law should apply to all citizens of Canada, including police officers. He said there's an obvious bias when the police department is investigating its own officers. We know there was substantial non-cooperation with the RCMP investigation, Conroy said, adding documents provided to Pivot by the Mounties suggest 60 police officers out of 100 refused to cooperate during the probe. Conroy said not everyone who complained could have been lying about being mistreated by the police. It's hard to believe that they're all making up a story. The findings of the two investigations mean disadvantaged people won't report police misconduct, he said. They're going to once again say, what's the point of complaining? We're just the people down on the street. Nobody believes us, and there's no remedy when police beat us up. Graham acknowledged that the two investigations revealed the department had some problems with administrative procedures. The department is taking immediate steps to deal with the issues, he said, setting the example of two officers searching a drug suspect's knapsack without sufficient grounds. The Vancouver police has been under fire for police misconduct before. Last year, six officers pleaded guilty in provincial court to assault for the 2003 beating of three suspected drug dealers they'd driven to Stanley Park. Now, it's kind of ridiculous when you have a probe that's done by the people who are actually cited in the probe. You know, like, we're going to probe ourselves. It probably felt really good for the cops. They were like, ooh, we're probing? We're probing? We're probing? Oh, no, we didn't do anything wrong, man. That feels good. You know, like, give me a break.
What do you call it when a private citizen refuses to cooperate with an investigation? Isn't that obstruction of justice?
Obstruction of justice.
But, and yet, well, how many 60 of 90, was it, police officers can get away with that?
60 out of 100. So only 40% of the officers. So that meant officers who were possibly named in the affidavits didn't have reply or didn't refuse to comply with the police force. They're not made to make statements or explain why these people made these complaints. And the worst thing is that now the police misconduct, the violence, the violation of people's rights will go on and on and on. Because nobody, it's the same in Nelson. You make a complaint, nothing happens. You make any, I'm not saying Nelson City police are different than anywhere else. I'm just saying there's not a good enough infrastructure for there to be, for complaints to be valued or to be really treated fairly.
I think what bugs me is what it implies about the structure of society when you have, you know, special jails for wealthy people who rarely get, you know, in very serious trouble for anything that they do. It's usually an exception when they do, but when they do, they go off to some cush, luxury, all-inclusive resort jail. And the rest of us, well, of the lower classes or middle classes, we are subject to, you know, violence at the hands of, you know, essentially sometimes of bullies. And the prisons that we're sent to are heinous, abusive, and dehumanizing.
I know. Yeah.
It's definitely a different standard for your average citizen than it is for a police officer or for anybody of the upper class.
Yeah, see, that's the thing where you can tell the character of a police state by the power that the authorities have, by the powers that police officers have, by the power that soldiers have, by the power in relation to the freedoms of the people. When police officers can go around, club you, beat you, kidnap you, all these heinous crimes and get away with it, then you begin to see the actual character of a totalitarian state, the idea of a fascist state where the people in power can abuse the people, the lower class people, and get away with it. Yeah, it's...
You had another article along that line there, didn't you? Something about the totalitarian state and abuse.
No, that's coming up. That's coming up.
Well, do you want to get into that?
No, we should go to a tune and build up for that one.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, this is Maccabee again. He's good. So here we go, Maccabee.
You're only making criminals out of decent folk. Just because a little bit of ganja they smoke, it shouldn't be a crime. It's about time. Have you heard the word legalizer? Have you heard the word legalizer? Have you heard the word legalizer?
Have you heard the word? Legalizer.
Millions of people smoke marijuana all over the world now, in every corner. Nurses, teacher, the lawyer and the doctor. Even the president of America. Ganja in a prison, them a regular user. The governor no mind, they keep the prisoner cooler. All your 60s hippies, where are they? Them are your bank managers and your boss of today. Have you heard the word?
Legalizer.
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 So why is it illegal and it's not as bad as the alcohol? Look how many people dead because of alcohol lockdown at the hospital. Just wait a minute and pause. You look at the problems alcohol cause. If you're over 18, you can buy it in a bus. You buy it in a bus and you jump in a car. Could I knock down somebody's son or them daughters? Why them people have some hypocritical laws? You can drink till you're drunk and see stars. And it is legal just because of the pounds and the pence and dollars. Have you heard the word?
Legalizer.
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 Some people smoke it for relaxation. Doctors prescribe it in a medication. Rastaman smoke it for good meditation. After meditation, we get inspiration. Irish sensation. Good vibration. Healing of the nation. Herb emancipation. Nobody can stop me with participation. Man upon the earth from creation. Have you heard the word?
Legalizer.
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 Decriminalize it, decriminalize it. Decriminalize it, decriminalize it. Decriminalize it, decriminalize it. Decriminalize it, decriminalize it. Have you heard the word?
Legalizer.
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 Decriminalize the herb, make we burn it in peace. Arresting people for herb must cease. You're wasting the time of all the police. Too much time.
Okay, welcome back. That was Maccabee. Thank you, DJ Alun. DJ Alun is a foundation of this show for kick-ass music, and also DJ Divinus. Two stellar audio files, and so thank them, and also Nava for giving us the Galactivation CD, or lending it to us. Sorry, I don't mean giving it, even though it's, we might take it. No, I'm kidding, I'll give it back. But this weekend was the Kootenai Moving Film Festival, Moving Pictures, amazing film festival. I got to catch a few films. We even sponsored one, but I won't go into that because anyway, it was highly political, and it seemed to me like I thought it was a film about Iraq, like from a kind of more global perspective, but it actually turned out to be more of a like pro-Bush stance, which kind of shocked me. So, but maybe we can cover that on another show. I want to talk to a few folks first and get their gist of what they felt about it. But the film that I saw that affected me the most was on what day was it? Friday night. It was a film about Tibet and a woman who went into Tibet with a digital message from the Dalai Lama and showed it to people. And just to give you an idea of what, you know, what was going on, is my son said, "Dad, that was such a boring film, just watching a bunch of Tibetans watching a movie. Like, come on, what's the big deal?" And I had to explain to him that the big deal about the film is that if those people had been caught, they might be jailed for years. They might be put into forced labor camps. They might be killed for watching a message from the Dalai Lama. And that the simple act of watching that movie was a political action, was death-defying. It didn't have big tits, it didn't have fancy cars, it didn't have explosions, it didn't have hair-raising stunts. All it had was people risking their lives to hear words of compassion and words of love that the sheer the shock of it wasn't apparent. It's the fact that these people, if they were caught, would go to jail. And part of that movie that really affected me was the fact that when they were showing the film, they had to dash around. They had to make sure the windows were closed and nobody was listening. Was the cab driver cool? Was anybody listening? Would they be caught? Announced to the audience, please, no digital cameras, do not take any pictures, because these people could be subjected to reprisals from the Chinese government for making their comments or just for even being in the film. So what one of the main kind of ideas of the film that hit home for me in relation to what we're going to be talking about in Creston is the fact that one of the main tactics of an oppressive regime is basically creating distrust between people and making so that everybody could be a narc, everybody could be an informer, anybody could rat you out. And that is one of the main mechanisms of the state to keep people from expressing their ideals, from enjoying freedom, from just basically living their lives or doing anything that might go against the state, because everybody becomes a spy, or you feel like everybody's becoming a spy. How is this in relation to Creston, BC? Here's a letter from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Creston, RCMP. The head title of the letter is Reporting a Suspected Drug House. The number of grow operations and drug seizures in the Creston Valley and many other areas throughout the Kootenays has dramatically increased in the past few years. In addition to the amount of police resources spent on grow, trafficking, and drug lab operations, there are many other serious community consequences associated with these crimes. They are continuously linked to property crime and crimes of violence. The Creston RCMP are taking proactive steps to try and address this community issue. We will continue to solicit information from the public and those involved in the local drug culture in an attempt to develop grounds for the execution of a search warrant. The growth and distribution of marijuana and other clandestine drug labs in our community is a serious concern to citizens. Often citizens will initiate complaints because the peace and tranquility of their neighborhoods have been destroyed. Neighbors have to put up with the noise, traffic, smells, and often fear when they live near one of these houses in a rural neighborhood. No, I'm kidding. There is something you can do. This is where the propaganda kicks in. If you suspect that there is a drug house in your neighborhood, completing the attached forms will supply the police with important information to help assess the situation. Thank you for your interest in solving this issue. Working together, we can create a safer community now and for the future. M. Fisher, Sergeant, Detachment Commander, Creston, RCMP. Dan, pick your favorite.
It's hilarious, the list here.
Okay, so folks, every citizen in Creston got sent this letter with that cover page that I just read. And on the second page is their title. It says, is there a drug house in your neighborhood?
Well, this list is hilarious because the innocuous, like totally.
I know.
Innocent.
Oh my God. So here's the first opening paragraph of the other page. There are occasions where block watch captains and others telephone the police department to report that a house in their neighborhood is suspected of being used grow or traffic marijuana or manufacture other drugs. Grammar correction there, sorry. In order to provide the best possible police response, it is important to have comprehensive information. The following items are common characteristics of drug houses. Note that a positive response in some of these areas does not necessarily mean that the residents are involved in criminal activity. Read the statements, check the boxes that apply, then complete the appropriate form. So what they have is a whole list of stuff of what are characteristics of a house and a little check mark space on the right. Do you want to go? Do you want to read half, Dan, and I'll read half?
Well, let's just
let's go through it one by one.
Well, first of all, before we even get into it, I just want to say that these, you know, keep in mind that any of these things could apply to anybody whatsoever. It doesn't. None of this necessarily indicates a grow house in any way, shape, or form.
No.
And even if you had all of the indicators, you still would probably be like, you know, maybe 1 in 10 houses or 1 in 100 houses are a grow house. So it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that's for number one?
Number one, there are several persons and or vehicles in and out throughout the day. Ooh.
Okay. So let me guess. You're a college student living in a house with other college students, and every day you rush to classes to go to Selkirk, and every day you rush home to make lunch together, then you rush out again to go to classes, then you rush back to make dinner, then you rush out to go to the bar, then you rush back. You could be a drug dealer.
Next, yeah, watch out. The cops are going to be at your door that night. Let's see. Subjects do not appear to regularly attend jobs or leave for work, but drive expensive vehicles. So you could be working on your computer at home as a programmer, or you could be doing telemarketing, or you could just have a home office, or you know what I mean? Like, I know a guy who repairs computers, and he's got people coming and going from his place all the time, and he drives an expensive car, and he makes good money doing what he's doing right in his home.
Oh my God.
So I guess he must be high on the suspect list.
Oh, my God. Okay, check two.
The next one is there are dark coverings over some of the windows on the house and or outbuildings such as the shed. So maybe you work nights and you need to sleep during the day and keep your windows closed so you don't get too much sunlight.
Or keep the heat in during winter. Like, you're going to cover up your windows if you want to keep any heat in your house. Okay, so check that one. Everybody can check that one.
Jeez.
Rooms in the house or outbuilding seem to be illuminated all the time.
Well, that wouldn't be a grow room, because grow rooms are only illuminated part of the time.
I know. Yeah, thanks, Dan. That's brilliant. Yeah. Okay, you're getting this, officers? I hope you are, because this is kind of funny. The next one, check. We got that one. A variety of extra security measures have been taken to protect the house, such as fencing, guard dogs, motion sensor lights. Okay.
Just about every retired person has those things because...
because they keep saying that there's grow-ops in every neighborhood.
And they're afraid
of the grow-ops. So then they buy all the equipment, and then they're the ones that could be the ones growing.
Yeah, watch out. Don't protect your home with security devices.
Okay, check five. Check six. There is a strange odor emanating from the house.
I remember a case, just like it was quite a few years back. It was probably 5 or 6 years ago.
I remember
Vancouver.
That one.
Do you remember the guy? He was a recent immigrant to Canada, and he was cooking some spicy foreign foods when the police kicked in his door because he had some potting soil in his front yard, a little bit of condensation on the windows.
He would make
it smelled
a big,
funny.
Yeah, he would make a big vat. I think it was of Dal or something. He'd make a big vat of it every week and use it throughout the week, and it caused condensation on the windows because he was making these big jugs of it, and so they're like condensation, weird smells. Okay, so yeah, if you do canning, you're in deep shit. Next one, humming noises such as fans can be heard. Well,
I won't make the obvious joke about vibrators, but
okay. How about just fans from your dryer?
Yeah,
of your house.
Your dryer or.
Okay, number seven. Unusual or modified electrical wiring can be seen on the exterior of the house. Oh my God. Okay, number eight. There are hoses running to from doors or windows to the exterior of the house.
I just want to say that sounds kind of hokey. Like, does that sound like something that.
Okay, no. There are hoses running to or from doors and windows on the exterior of the house. Where are they running to if they're on the exterior of the house?
Why would they be on the exterior of the house if the thing was on the inside?
Yeah, stupid. So that's another one. People can check that one. This is the real kicker, folks. The hydrometer can be seen spinning unusually fast. Now,
you made a good point about this.
Where do you think hydrometers are usually located? On the side of your house. How would the person get to the meter to see if it was spinning unless they trespassed on your property? So the cops are, in fact...
They're encouraging you to trespass onto other people's property and snoop at their windows and look around their house. And I don't think that's a very good... first of all, if it really... You know, if growers are really as violent as police claim, that would be a dangerous thing to do. I know that that's totally preposterous, and I feel strongly that most people in the cannabis community are very nonviolent people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't think that anybody would take kindly to their neighbors sniffing around their house, whether they had a grow up in it or not.
Totally, that's the worst. Encouraging citizens to endanger their lives by trespassing on people's property as agents of the police. That's stupid. Okay, next one. The residents of the house keep to themselves. Okay, buddy. It looks like, they keep to themselves.
Introverts beware.
They don't go to church. I think they might be trouble. Okay, next one. Quantities of outdoor equipment and gardening supplies are seen there, yet there are few outdoor gardens or flower beds. Supplies are bought in winter. So that's another... How would you know that unless you were snooping on your neighbors, looking out the window every time they brought groceries home? Okay, here's another one. There are pots, soil, hoses, nutrients scattered around the property. Okay, now, folks, they might have a point there. Because I have seen some really stupid people who are they just throw out the balls, the balls from the pots with the pot plant cut off in the top of it, just out on their lawn, or in a big pile in their backyard. And it's buddy, you're hey, excuse me, I couldn't help but notice that you left all your root balls from your hydroponics operation in your compost stacked 6 feet high where everybody can see it. So don't be stupid if you're growing and leaving potted stuff out. That could be a point. Absence of frost or snow on roof when all or most of the others are still covered.
Now, what if you have a metal roof on your house and all the snow just happens to slide off of that and stays on your shed? I guess that automatically makes you a suspect.
Yeah, you're a suspect. Next one. Visitors are frequently seen to park away and walk to house. Holy crap. Who came up with this?
So if you have a snowed-in driveway, beware. Anyways, I think it's a pretty frivolous list for the most part. I think that even that one about, pots scattered around the yard, I have to say that, there's probably people who grow ornamental plants and stuff. There was a case in Alberta just recently where police were called to a house because there were bright lights in the house that were coming on at strange times and all that stuff, and it turned out it was orchids. They were growing orchids in their house. So not all indoor grow operations involve pot.
I know, but look at this, man. Look at the next two. These are the following are characteristics of methamphetamine labs. One, odors of unusual or toxic nature. Compared to smell of cat urine. If you have a cat litter box, or say you've got a couple kitties in the house, you're in deep trouble. You could be nailed by your neighborhood watch for being a meth lab. Number two on the meth lab scene, this one blows my Nubian. Soapy clouds around the house or outbuildings.
Soapy clouds.
Soapy clouds, dude.
In the Kootenays, we get soapy clouds all the time.
Soapy clouds.
It's
I'm sorry, the person who wrote this is higher than anybody they're going to find. who comes up with this shit?
Soapy clouds, I don't know what that means.
Okay, and then the next page says, reporting a suspected drug house. And it says, suspect house, the address, house description, your name of your complaint. And then it has a whole bunch of checklists again. Man, it's just nuts. Then, just as the back sheet, just to make everything like Tibet, is what I'm saying here, is it says, if you've noticed an influx of persons or vehicles around this house, it is useful for police to know the particulars of those that frequent it. When you're obtaining information such as license plates, be very discreet and do not attract attention to yourself. Obviously, standing in the driveway with a pen and paper is not a good idea. He he he, ha ha ha, he he he. As if those people, you know what I mean? And then the list, folks, says residence vehicles, and it says license, make, model, color, visiting vehicles, date, time, license, length of stay, description. of occupants.
They're basically encouraging people to be
spies for the state.
Drug narcs for the for the
spies
government.
Spies for the state. So here we are. We have Tibet, where the state uses the fear of informants and people narking on one another to break down the morale of the people and to cause fear to spread. Well, they're doing it right here in Creston.
This is a part of the fallout, I think, from that the shooting of those officers. Is it sort of like a just a little bit more stronger push along all the same lines that they've been pushing along right from the start. And I don't know if you heard about this or not, but the politicians in, was it Toronto, that were going door to door, the two politicians, then it was in Ontario somewhere, two politicians going door to door and asking people whether or not they knew of any suspected, weird, suspicious houses that may contain grow ops in their neighborhood. It actually resulted in a couple of busts. I'd say it's along the same line as that. And you know, where we're heading with this is very much like you said, like Soviet Russia. And I want to bring up one particularly interesting example of this. Soviet Russia, what they did there, I would say that Americans, with the whole like paranoia about the state and stuff, American history upholds that as being strong example of oppression, of state oppression. And one of the moments in the history of Soviet oppression that is often upheld as the epitome of that is when this fellow, he was a young kid at the time, turned in his parents for saying things about the government. His name was Pavel Morozov, and he was called the young hero at the time of the Soviet Union.
Oh, man.
He turned in his parents to Stalin's secret police, and they were executed. After that, he became a state hero. He was a state hero for many, many years. And this is the kind of thing that these states promote. They promote this kind of like, let's narc everybody out, narc out your parents, narc out, your neighbors. And I just want to say, whether you believe in the drug war or not, that what happens when we start going down that road is we end up with a complete destruction of freedoms and a complete destruction, breakdown of society where nobody can rely on anybody around them. Everybody is afraid of everybody, and the only person with any kind of control or power is the person that wears a badge, the person who is enforcing the rules of the state.
Yeah, totally, Dan.
In 1991, there was a similar incident in the U.S., and this also made national news, much like the young hero of Russia did. And in this case, a young kid, 10-year-old boy, Darren Davis, turned in his parents. He returns from school to his house where his parents lived, and he went inside and went to his parents' bedroom to look for his mother, but she wasn't there, and she wouldn't be home for another couple hours. He talked to her on the phone, but then he began searching the bedroom for candy, apparently, because his parents often hid candy there, and he didn't find any, but he climbed on top of a chair and he saw a white powder on a small makeup mirror. And he realized from going from a DARE program that had attended his school that this was cocaine. So he called the police and turned in his parents. And his father spent the next 3 months in jail. And Darren was very upset. He didn't think that this was going to happen. Unlike the hero from Russia, who actually was glorified and really played into the whole drama. This boy was like, no, I can't believe this happened. But at the same time, it just goes to show you once again how the state that is attempting to destroy, a state that's attempting to destroy our freedoms and oppress us, turn us all against each other, how that works to destroy even the bonds of family.
Mm-hmm. And once we go down that road, there's no turning back. Like, once you have fear is hard to get rid of once it's instilled. Once there's the idea that someone, everybody, every neighbor, every friend, every person on the street, every cab driver, every bus driver, every cop, every elderly citizen, every neighborhood watch person is a possible agent of the state, you no longer have freedom. You can no longer walk with that feeling of freedom where you can say what you want. You know, get high and go a little crazy sometimes. That'll never happen because there'll always be someone there narking on you. Or so, like China has done to Tibet to create genocide, to create oppression, to take over the people there and to basically stymie any attempt by them to gain their freedom, they're doing the same thing here. So if you live in the Creston area or you live in the Nelson area, we're going to tell you this right now. Narking on your neighbor, being a rat, being a police agent, being a police informer does not help your community, no matter how much you think it might. No matter how much you think, I'm getting rid of those drug dealers, it does not help. All it creates is a feeling of fear, a state of fear, and that's no good for anybody. No good for any culture, no good for any democratic society.
Well, I mean, I think the point is that there, you know, once we start breaking down those boundaries, there's no place where it stops, you know. An elderly person turning in a marijuana grow up may very, you know, a year later be the subject of somebody turning them in for buying illegal medicine in Mexico that they used to treat an illness and can't afford to buy in Canada, you know, or some similar circumstance like that. So, you know, it's there really are no boundaries in this, you know. You turn in somebody for using medical marijuana, they turn you in for using an illegal, you know, an illegally obtained and yet, you know, generally legal drug that helps you with your illness. And so just to maintain those familial bonds, those bonds of family, the bonds of neighbors, all that is more important than going down the road of all of us becoming police informants for anything, really, you know, except for, you know, really serious, serious crimes like rape and murder, you know. I think that we need to encourage a different model of justice even in our communities where, you know, if something is stolen, the community gets together and confronts the person, or, you know, there's some kind of a community judicial proceeding for nonviolent crimes.
I think frontier justice is good. No, I'm kidding. But it has helped in previous cases. It does help sometimes. Like, instead of reporting your neighbor to the cop, like, if you're going to put yourself at risk by collecting data and information and becoming the informant for the cops, why not just go talk to the neighbor if you have problems with it? Go say, hey, look, I got sent this thing that said I should narc on you, but I'm not going to. I just want to talk to you. Like, do you have to leave all your grow equipment outside? Do you have to? You know what I mean? Like, if you're really concerned about it, just go talk to the guy. Nobody's going to... I don't know. It's... If you're a police rat or an informant, you're putting yourself at risk. Because imagine even if you weren't growing and the cops came and searched your house and you find out that your neighbor was ratting out on you because of some indicators they saw in some bullshit letter sent by the cops, you'd be choked. Wouldn't matter if you...